Everybody, a good akvitzel. It's been a very intense yomim tovim, and it's good to be back to business. Memetz Hashem, it should be a beautiful zman simchaseinu together in good health. And I'd like to just take a moment to thank our sponsors, to Steve Fuchs, who's sponsoring this morning's shir, to Dr. Gindia, who is sponsoring today's shir, Le'ilu Nishmas Malka Elkabas Aaron Alevi. Whose mother's shloishim has just passed, and it should be a milestone that, as far as we go, the memory becomes still even clearer and more vivid of who she was and what she produced in her lifetime. Mr. Shem, we're going to do a very, very simple thing today, and that is that because we have three sets of 3-day yom tovs, right? Because we have three sets of the 3-day yom tovs, one of which we have passed. We are still actually have another two of them coming up. So in order to be able to do it, to understand and appreciate one aspect of that, we're going to learn a little bit about Erev Tov Shilin today. We're not going to do any fancy footwork. We're not going to learn any, like, crazy, you know, pilpul. We're just going to go straight forward from the beginning to the end, try to get more depth than breadth. We're just trying to get a bit of perspective on things because we really ought to appreciate what we do. Just a general rule in life. Okay, so here we go. Let's start at the very beginning. How early do we find Erev Tov Shilin? By the way, we're going to try to do a little bit of Machshava as well as we move towards the end. But let's just try to get the basics at the beginning. So we see the notices going out and shul Erev Tov Shilin. Remember Erev Tov Shilin and something about the rabbi? We're going to try to get to that. And let's start at the beginning. So when's the earliest mention of Erev Tov Shilin? It happens to be it is not in the Torah. Right, the Torah does not explicitly talk about Erev Tov Shilin, which is a good indicator. It probably means it's a mitzvah, midrabbanan. It probably means it's a rabbinic enactment. But it happens to be that even though it is rabbinic, there is a midrash and there is a gemara in Maseches Yoma, which tells us the following in the first source: Omar Rav or Rava, the Itema Rav Ashi. There's a saying which is attributed to either Rav Ashi or Rava. Kiyem Avram Avinu afilu eruv etav shilin. Avram Avinu even kept eruv etav shilin. Shenemar Torasi, when it says that Hashem says that Avram is so special that he keeps my Torah, achas Torah shebichsav v'achas Torah shebalpeh, whether it be the written Torah or whether it be the oral Torah. That's a remarkable statement. Think about that. Here we are. Avram Avinu is in a pre-Matan Torah era, very clearly, right? So, no two ways about that. But not only, says the Gemara, was he aware. Now, does this mean to say spiritually aware? I mean, he was able to tune into the right meridians in the spiritual realm to be able to know what to do and not to do. But not only was he able to tune in on a biblical level of what Hashem would ultimately express, we'll call it, articulate in a very clear way in the Torah Shebik style, but even the Torah Shebal Peh. That's remarkable. It sounds like what this Medrash is saying. What this Gemara is really saying is, even till that degree, meaning to say, even a rabbinic enactment of this degree, that's what it sounds like the Gemara is saying. Now, it happens to be that this Gemara is telling us more about Avraham Avinu than it is about Erev Tov Shilin, right? Meaning to say, if we're to open this up, it'll be a little more about the uniqueness of Avraham than uniqueness of Erev Tov Shilin. So that's why we're not going to go directly in that direction, but nonetheless, we see just that this is a fascinating application. You know, you can imagine, like, what did Avraham Avinu do when there was a 3-day Yom Tov, right? Yeah. Speaking of which, actually, by the way, I called up my sister on Erev, I think it was Erev Yom Kippur, just to wish, she lives in Eretz Yisrael, and to wish her a good Yom Tov, and she asked me what I was talking about on Sunday, and I said, well, we're going to talk about Erev Tov Shilin. So she says, well, we only had this once this year, because in Israel, it's very unusual to have to encounter an erev Shabbos, which is a Yom Tov, as much as we have here in Chutz La'aretz. It's only when it's Rosh Hashanah 3 days, which just happened, do you actually have it. So this is really primarily a Chutz La'aretz sugya generally. It does happen. So it does happen. You're right, but much more infrequently. So it just happens to be this is something which we're more aware of on this side of the ocean. Okay. Without much further ado. Yes, so in the calendar that we have today, on the 8th day of Pesach, in the calendar permutation we have, there's very few days in Israel right now. When the times when the Beis Medrash comes back, we'll have it back again, when the calendar is up here. So here we go. What do we do about this? What's this whole business? So really, the beauty of the sugya is it's very much limited to a very small section in Shas, which allows us to be able to develop it a little more in a linear fashion, as opposed to sort of reaching out everywhere. The primary location for this is in the Gemara in Beitza, in the beginning of the second parak. That's really where this all appears. It's really if you learn the Gemara that appears from Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis and Beitza to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, which is a 2-blatt radius. It's all there. There's not much more, which is why it's so accessible and so user friendly. So here's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah tells us this is the basis of everything else that we learn. The Mishnah tells us Yom Tov Shechol Liyos Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, which is happening this week, this Friday, Lo Yavashel B'tchila Mi Yom Tov LeShabbos, a person should not cook at the beginning from Yom Tov to Shabbos. What do you think that word B'tchila means? B'tchila. So this is the Mishnah's way of saying L'chatchila. So a person should not, in a ideal situation, cook from Yom Tov till Shabbos. That word we have to deal with. What that, does that mean to say B'di'eved in a second-rate situation? Does that change? Not clear right now. Avol Mevashel Hu L'Yom Tov. But a person can cook for that very Yom Tov itself. V'im Hoysir, Hoysir L'Shabbos. So let's say you make a huge pot of meatballs on Friday, and it happens to be that your guests just weren't as consumptuous as, that's not a word, right? Bigly as much as butter. Suffice to say, with my acumen, I will be, I don't need to explain the words. There's a lot left in the meatball pot, fantastic, leave it over for Shabbos, that's great. But you can't lechatchila cook on Friday afternoon a huge pot for Shabbos. That's the way it works, okay? Here we have it. But you know what you can do? There is a solution. On Erev Yom Tov, which this week is Wednesday, you could cook a tavshil, something which is cooked from Erev Yom Tov, and rely on it for Shabbos. Fantastic. Beis Shammai, now there has to be a dispute. Beis Shammai, the yeshiva of Shammai would say, Shnei tavshilin, it has to be two separate cooked things. Beis Hillel Omrim, Tavshil Echad. Beis Hillel says just sufficient with one cooked thing. V'shavin, they both agree. Badag uva beitza sholo shehen shnei tavshilin. There used to be a type of food where they'd have just like fish cooked, and they'd have, I guess, a layer of egg. Like that would be the sauce, or that would be the topping, would be egg, and that would be sufficient to be called two, even though you slice it in one piece. You put that on the plate as one piece, but it's still considered two tavshilin. Ochlu oish avad. Somebody goes into the fridge on the first day of Yom Tov and sees that beautiful egg of yours and has a snack. You ain't cooking for Shabbos on Erev Yom Tov, on Erev Shabbos. Lo yavashel la b'tchila, you cannot cook. V'im shir mimenu koshu, there's a morsel left. One little crumb of that bread is still in the bag. Somech olav l'Shabbos, that's sufficient to get into Shabbos. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is not telling us any of the whys. The Mishnah just tells us a little bit of the whats, right? So we know a few things in the Mishnah. Number one is that there's a prohibition. It sounds like we don't know what the nature of this prohibition is, but somehow we cannot cook from Yom Tov into Shabbos. That's clear. The way to mitigate this circumstance is starting on every Yom Tov. The Mishnah doesn't explain why. It doesn't explain why it's a problem. It doesn't explain why it's all right. Right? So that's kind of where we need to start. Okay? So let's start like this way. I think that actually... What was that? There are lots here. You're 100% right. There's a lot of ways that people would preserve foods. And one of them is the reason why South Africa became a colony. Dutch East India Company, spices. Right? There are lots of reasons why everybody wanted to get to India. That's why they discovered America in the first place. They're just trying to find a quicker route to get to India to get the spices to preserve the foods. Right? So there are lots of ways of doing that, but let's not get into the practicals. Let's get into the theory right now.
What
the Gemara is trying to address, the Mishnah is trying to address, is you may think that the prohibition of going from one to the other is so severe that in order to regulate, this is going to be a regulation, in order to regulate that, I'm not going to, what's called aroma, which is like trickery, I'm not going to, cook a pot of 73 meatballs for my two guests on Shabbos lunch, right? So it's going to, I'm going to try to, the Mishnah said maybe that's going to be regulated out. So the Mishnah says, no, on irregular circumstances, there's leftover. I mean, we don't regulate that much. We don't go that far.
Why would you regulate, why would you think you would regulate Erev Yontif? Why do you
Because people are people. Because that's how we are. Okay, so yeah, that, you know, unfortunately we all know how we start thinking about things when it comes to our food. Let's go a little further. So there's two questions over here, folks. Question number one is, what's the problem of going from Yom Tov into Shabbos? What's the issue at hand? Question number two is what is how does cooking on Erev Yom Tov help us? Okay, so those are the two factors we need to appreciate. So let's start at the very beginning. The Gemara itself starts addressing this. The Gemara says the question that's all on the tip of our tongues, which is in the right. This is in, if you're actually on the page of the Gemara, this will be the immediately following line, which says the following in source 3, Mina Hanimili. Where do we get this from, folks? Where does the Mishnah pull this out of? The Mishnah has not given us any introduction or background. Amar Shmuel, to Amar Kra, because the verse says in Shmois, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lakadre. Where does it say that? You're right, where? This is pretty fundamental. This is in the Ten Commandments, right? Okay, so remember the day of the Sabbath to sanctify it. Zachreyu me'acher shebol ha'ashkichoi. Remember it so you don't come to forget it. So therefore, we need to make a distinction. Shabbos needs to be special, right? So in order to protect it. Now, just if you were to read that for a second, does that sound like Erev Toshinin is biblical? Meaning, when you quote a pasuk, that sounds like it's a midah or rice. That sounds very pretty biblical, right? What was that? So what everybody points out in this Gemara is that when you ask a question, you answer with a pasuk. There's two ways you could be answering that. Number one is you could say, this is the source from which I derived the answer, or that's what you call a drasha. Or number two, that rather I know the answer, I'm looking for some idea in the verse in the Torah which will support it, which is called an asmachta. So it relies upon it. So everybody points out this Gemara is actually addressing an asmachta. We know ahead of time there's a rabbinic ordinance called, or prohibition of going from Yom Tov into Shabbos. And we're finding a pasuk upon which we can hang this idea because we know that it's supposed to be that Shabbos is special. Which is what leads the Gemara to ask the question almost again. The Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason? Meaning if we've already had a good source, then the Gemara just shouldn't ask us what the reason is, right? Because we just got the source. The Gemara apparently is not satisfied. The Gemara says, what's the reason why we need to do this whole process? He says, Omar Rava, Kadesh Shiyivror, Mono Yofe LeShabbos, or Mono Yofe LeYomtov. In order that when you're dividing up your foods, right, you did your entire shopping, you have it all stacked up in the fridge there, you've done all the cooking, and now it comes to the Yom Tov meals, what's going to happen? You're going to naturally pull out all the stops, have the entire meals that were cooked, all for Yom Tov, right? It's a two-day Yom Tov, people are ravenous, the kids are running about the house. What are you going to do? You're going to pull out everything out of the fridge. So therefore, what's the point of this Erev Tav Shilin business? In order that we separate something else outside in order to preserve that for Shabbos. So we have something left for Shabbos. There has to be something which is in a bag with a big red X. Doesn't always work, right? Well, depends on the kids, right? So you have to take something out in order that when it comes to Shabbos, practically speaking, there's something left. That's all that it is, says Rava. Interesting, right? Let's think about what that means in contrast to the next opinion. The next opinion is actually quite different. Rav Ashi Omar, Kadesh Shiyomru Ein Oifin Miyom Tov LeShabbos, Kal V'Choymer Miyom Tov L'Chol. In order that people should not make the mistake of thinking that I can cook from Yom Tov to
weekday.
What's going to happen? If I'm allowed to cook from Yom Tov this Friday till Shabbos, everybody's going to say, hey, you know, I remember that I once cooked from Yom Tov to the first day of Chol HaMoed. Shabbos, that's fine. But I cook from Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, right? So the next year, when it's going to be a different arrangement of the festival, it's going to happen, I'm going to also cook from Yom Tov to the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is Chol. Problem. So therefore, in order to protect, what's Rav Ashi protecting? In order to protect Yom Tov, I'm going to therefore say, I can't cook even for Shabbos, even though that might be a little bit easier to cook for, okay? Now think about this for a second. Rava is protecting what? Rava just told us we need to make sure that there's enough food for Shabbos. What's he protecting? Protecting Shabbos, because the problem is, without this Erev Tav Shilin business, I would just pull it all out of the fridge and have all my meals. That's it. No more Shabbos. I'd be there with the peanut butter and matzahs, right? So therefore says that he's protecting Shabbos. Who is Rav Ashi protecting? He's protecting the Kedushas Yom Tov. Isn't that interesting? So two separate reasons, which the Gemara is giving, each one protecting a different value. Fascinating, right? And the Gemara then goes on to try to prove in either direction. The Gemara actually it is important to go through this proof for a second. So the question that we're going to ask ourselves is, that's a very interesting theoretical difference, what they're protecting. How does that express itself in practical ramifications? How does it express itself on a practical level? So the Gemara says, well, there is a very, very simple practical difference between the two of them. Tanan, this is the third line of the Gemara in Source 3. The Mishnah says, or quoting a Mishnah, our Mishnah told us, when does Erev Tavshilin need to be made? It has to be made on Erev Yom Tov, which is, this year, Wednesday. Wait a second. Let's think about this from the perspective of both of those opinions for a moment. Bishlam ala Rav Ashi, if, like Rav Ashi, we are protecting Yom Tov from making the mistake of cooking out of Yom Tov onto any other day, then to Omar Kadesh Yomrug Enovim Yom Tov l'Shabbos, Hainu to be Erev Yom Tov in, but Yom Tov loy. That's why I need to do it on Erev Yom Tov. What's happening? Rashi adds in over here the little bit of the meat to this conversation. By cooking on Erev Yom Tov, by starting to boil that egg, by making that or whatever that dish it is that I'm making, by having that challah set aside, what I'm doing essentially is I'm starting the process of cooking for Shabbos on Wednesday. When I carry on that process on Friday, I'm not beginning to cook for Shabbos on Friday on a Yom Tov. I already started that process. I'm simply continuing. I'm not going to make the mistake in another year to say, hey, you know, I can cook from Yom Tov to a weekday, because we had to do something very unusual this year in order to get there. But, says the Gemara, if we go according to Rava, Ela L'Rava, according to Rava, who is protecting Shabbos, then my iria me'erev Yom Tov, afilo b'Yom Tov nami. If I need to save food to make sure I get to Shabbos, that there's enough left for my Shabbos meal, why do I need to set aside the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday? Set it aside on Thursday morning, on Thursday evening. All I need to make sure is that there's one tray in the fridge which is not going to be eaten, right? It's just practically saving for Shabbos. I don't need to do that on Erev Yom Tov. Do it whenever it's practical. Make sure it's before the last meal on Yom Tov. That's all we need to really do, basically. So the Gemara answers, in Hachinami, you're right. Rava agrees, you could do Erev Tavshilin on Yom Tov. Elo gzeira shema yivsha, but we're humans, and we know what happens. We say we're going to do it, we put a note on the fridges, and there's a note on the outside of our bedroom door, and there's an alarm on our cell phone which is not useful to us. And in the end of the day, we come to Shabbos and we ate it all up, right? Or somebody else ate it up. So what do we do? So in order to avert that problem, before we start eating, which is on Erev Yom Tov, we set it aside, Rava says. For a different reason. So both of them agree that it has to be done on Erev Yom Tov, but for different reasons. Rav Ashi, because your meal, your cooking is starting on Wednesday, leading to your cooking on Friday. Whereas Rav is saying, no, it's just about making sure there's enough food for Shabbos, but I need to do that early so I don't make a mistake, or somebody else in my house doesn't make a mistake. Moshe. Great question. So what do you do with the Bidyavid? Ah, fantastic. So let's examine these opinions for a second. See?
Just stop before you get to Bidyavid again. What is it that you forgot? You have to.
So according to Rav, apparently you are able to cook. Great question. It is a good question in Rav. So does Rav mean to say that I'm not allowed to cook from Shabbos to Yom Tov at all, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, except cooking on Shabbos is not a good idea in general. So I'm not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but I'm allowed to set aside something and I'm allowed to eat that. That's all. Or Rav is saying no. By symbolically setting aside something, I'm allowed to cook now because I'm protecting the Shabbos. Maybe it's an extension of that. That we can go either direction in. Yes, Steve.
The distinction is a little bit stronger. Rava is just the covered Shabbos. Rav Ashi is protecting...
Where you are right now.
Well, it's protecting you from doing an avera.
Yes.
That's a big difference.
It is a big difference. It's the higher stakes. There's very high stakes, and that really leads us to the question, which is Moshe's question is so what happens in a post facto case? So like, okay, that's it. You come to Mincha on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, it's Wednesday evening, and you get Shmon Esrei is the first calm time in the whole day. You get to the end of Shmon Esrei and you realize, oh my goodness, right? What did I do? I didn't remind my wife. She didn't remind me. We're both to blame. And so fantastic. So we're gonna get to how negligent we can be, folks. So here we go. So there's two interesting, fascinating nafkaminas, or practical outcomes of this. It happens to be that there is an opinion in Halacha, which is quoted by the Mordechai. The Mordechai is a German Rishon, so he's a medieval commentator from Germany, and his style of commentary is at the back of the Gemaras. What he does is he has like these notes. He has these notes where he summarizes all the people of his time. So you get very unusual speakers from the Eastern European scene of Poiskim, who he quotes, and people you don't usually hear about in the French side of things, like let's say in Tosos or in Rashi. Okay, so he says an interesting thing. He quotes, the Mordechai quotes a person by the name of Shmuel Mibunberg. Okay, so he quotes a person by the name of Shmuel Mibunberg. So we're talking about somewhere earlier than the 1400s in source 7. And he says that, okay, so he says, you know, there's this notion of making a condition. It doesn't help you in this particular case. We're not getting into the details of that. He says one option is, let's say you forget your Erev, it's just cook a lot, meaning make sure it's a big meal. He says, so he says, in this case, where a person has already entered Yom Tov and has not done Erev Tashrin, you can do it on the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, it's like in the permutation of this week, which is on a Friday. You can set aside the Erev Tashrin. Why? Because we'll rely on the logic of Rava, which would technically allow you to do it on the second day of Yom Tov itself, not on Erev Yom Tov. What does this make it into the halachic rubric? Unfortunately, it does not, interestingly enough. So just be aware of how far this goes. But the Beis Yosef, who is Rav Yosef Karo, in this is his book, which is the predecessor to the Shulchan Aruch, quotes Rabbi Shmuel Mibunberg in source 8 at the very bottom. In source 8, three lines from the bottom, he says, it doesn't seem that that's the accepted practice. They only allowed the Erev from Yom Tov L'Chavero. It doesn't seem to be that you can do it on Yom Tov itself. And that's generally the predominant practice. There are poskim who say b'dievet, but I don't think that's the accepted practice. But nonetheless, this is an expression of one exploration in halacha, in halachic terms, of Rava's opinion. There's another one. One quick second. Just want to get to the other one, then we'll go to the question. The other idea is something which is actually a little more practical. That is, the Rosh, whose name is Rabbeinu Asher, also lived in Germany, had to run from persecution, and he actually went to Spain. So he's very fascinating. He has a lot of the minhagim, which from the strains of Eastern Europe all the way down to Sfard. Really fascinating in his pirush. The way he works is at the back of the Gemara, he takes all the halachic Gemaras and condenses them into halachic notes, which would be it. And his son, who was Rabbeinu Yaakov, who condensed that into the Tur, which was, in fact, the framework of the Shulchan Aruch. So really, the beginning of the halachic process starts with the Rosh in this respect into what we have today. He says the following at the beginning of the second Perek of Beitza. Let's take a look. This is in source 5. The year air. It seems. Now, when a poskim says it seems, that means to say they're not quoting something; they're philosophizing about what the applications are. The yira de nafkamina. There seems to be a practical difference between elu shnei ta'amim, between Rav Ashi and Rava. Says why de la Rava, according to Rava, who is protecting Shabbos, tzorich la'arev dafka be'erev yomtov kedei sheyivro armani yofer leShabbos. Rav Ashi yochel arev afilu koidem erev yomtov. So he says, let's think about it. This week, we have another practical application. So according to Rava, that I'm protecting Shabbos, therefore I can only protect Shabbos now, right? So I have to protect it for this one, so I need to take off some food for this Shabbos, so I don't finish up all the food on Thursday and Friday by the time I get to Shabbos. But according to Rav Ashi, that what's happening over here is I'm making a symbol so that I'm not going to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. And this symbol now reminds me that Yom Tov cooking for outside of Yom Tov is generally not a good idea. So therefore, if I were to make an Erev Tavshilin on this Wednesday, and I were to say, look, it's a long Yom Tov coming up, right? So let's be practical. One Erev Tavshilin, and it's going to cover both this first 2 days of Yom Tov and the second 2 days of Yom Tov in one shot. One shul reminder, that's it. Right? So what says the Rosh, that should be sufficient. One symbol to remind me that Yom Tov cooking is a problem is good enough, right? According to Rav Ashi, it does not work according to Rava. Fascinating, right? Now, what do we do lahalacha? Interestingly enough, he doesn't say anything. Okay, so he is not machria. So the Rosh doesn't say which opinion is predominant in halacha. So he doesn't give us guidance. He was kind of just at this point philosophizing about which opinion would lead to what. So what do we do? So as the halachic process has distilled itself, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. This is practical halacha in source 6. Imenyach ha'eruv al das lismoich olav kol zman shiyeh kayom. If you set aside an Eretav Shilin to rely on it all the time and it's still operational, coming back to Barbara's point, right? There's a certain point where your Eruv is not edible, then it's not helpful. But in this case, we can do that. Why? Because we have 1 week gap, right? So maybe the hard-boiled egg in the fridge and the challah should be fine, right? Afilo le yom tov acher, even to another yom tov, lechachila lo yismach olav le yom tov acher. Says lechachila we shouldn't. I will b'diavad yachol yismach olav. In a post-facto case, you can rely on it. So now just a few points over here. This is a classic way of resolving a dispute. You see, right now we have a dispute as to whether we follow the opinion of Rav Ashi or Rava. They yield different outcomes. If we were to follow Rav Ashi till the end of the day, it would allow us to do one Eretav Shilin for two Yom Tovs if it lasts. But according to Rava, you need to do separate ones. So what do we do? In deference to Rava, lechatchila, we do two separate ones. But in a case where we didn't, you see what's happening over here? But in a post-facto case where we have not done it and we thought about it on Erev Sukkos 1, it should count for Sukkos 2. Then again, the asterisk is, as long as you had it in your das, you needed to think about that. It can't just be that you woke up on Simchas Torah and realized that you did it 7 days ago. Yes?
So, but you have to take a piece of matzah and an egg, put it in the refrigerator, Erev Pesach, or Pesach Chicken Matzos, leave it there for 10 years, and know that that's my Erev Tashan for a
month. If you want to live a B'dievet lifestyle, yes.
You don't have to
live
here.
Do you have to eat it? So happens to be, interestingly enough, this hits on another interesting question. What is the minhag to do? What do you do with Erev Tav Shilin? So it happens to be that there are lots of interesting minhagim brought, but these again are minhagim. There are minhagim that one should use the roll, if you have bread, as part of the Lechem Mishnah, actually. Fascinating enough. So you should use it as your second loaf of bread on Shabbos. And the minhag is to eat it at Shalosh Shuras, right? So that has become the minhag with Erev Tav Shilin. But let's say you didn't do that. Does all your cooking get invalidated, you know, retroactively? No. Right, so again, we're not talking in an ideal world. We're talking about, practically speaking, if it's a symbol to remind us, that symbol to remind us says, according to Rav Ashi, should be sufficient, even one, like you said. Exactly that. Barbara.
Why can't we keep in mind that we're not only just looking at the Shabbos, but we're looking for one day of Yom Tov to the next day? I still have a prohibition for one
yeah.
day of Yom Tov to the next day.
Yeah, 100%. So Barbara, you know, this is an interesting question. Most of the first perek of Beitza is spent dealing with that issue. Cooking from one day of Yom Tov to the other is a separate problem, which is not ameliorated by Eretz Shinan at all. So it requires a lot more depth. The whole Beitza starts off Beitza Shinolda. But Yom Tov, there's a whole discussion about when something is you know usable on one day Yom Tov and not usable on the second day Yom Tov. It's a much more complicated.
There's no necessity to make it.
Right. Correct.
Could you put it so it doesn't spoil? Can you put it in a freezer?
Could you put it in the freezer?
Is it edible?
Again, Rav Ashi is relied upon in a b'dievet situation. So when you're putting in the freezer, that's not b'dievet. So you don't really get to that situation. Your question is what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to make two. So you're supposed to make two, put it in the fridge. You're supposed to put it in the fridge. If I'm putting it in the freezer, that means I'm automatically, you know, I'm consciously relying on b'dievet, which is not the kind of way of life I would like to live. Okay, so, but Barbara, you're right. That really, why Yom Tov to Yom Tov is a much bigger sugya, but we're not gonna address particularly now, but the reasons don't apply, as was pointed out. Let's cover a little bit of ground. There's a few things I want to just address. There is one fascinating Gemara in Pesachim, but it requires a lot of deep thought. And I think that just for the sake of time right now, I want to skip that. It really gets to the essence of what the Isser is over here, but it just requires a lot of mental gymnastics right now. So what I want to do is move on to a few other practical things, and maybe have a chance we'll come back to that. Okay. So what I want to focus on is first of all the name. The name. Why do we call it an Erev Tav Shinen? Where else do we use the word Erev? Right. So we talk about Erev Chaseros, Shetufei Mevos. When it talks about Tchumim, right? When it talks about, you know, on Shabbos, when am I allowed to carry? I'm not allowed to carry. How far am I allowed to walk? Well, how far am I not allowed to walk? So where did, you know, like Erev Tav Shinen? It's not regulating or allowing my walking. It's talking about my preparations, right? So the Rambam says in Hilchos Yom Tov in source 12. Just going to move. Are we skipping one section? The Rambam says, "V'lama nikra shmoy erev." So why in the world is it called an erev? He says, "Shekashem sha erev she'oisin b'chatzeros umevois er Shabbos mishum heker kadei shelo yale al da'atom shemutal hoitzim rishus b'Shabbos." The reason I have an erev, so why do I set aside this food? Right, remember the erev is not the actual poles. Right, that's the mechitzah. So the erev is actually the food which is set aside in the erev. Right, so that erev is there to remind me that in general I'm not allowed to just move walk around without having some sort of, you call it, united premises outside. He says, "Kach ze'atav shil mishum heker v'zikaron kedesh lo yedamu liyachshav shemutu la'afos b'yom tov masha eno nechol boy b'yom." Ulufirach nekra tav shil ze eru tav shilin. It's called an eru tav shilin. In the same way, it's a reminder that you're not allowed to just cook whenever you want. By the way, whose opinion is the Rambam paskening? Actually, a lot of interest. The Rambam is clearly passing like Rav Ashi that we're protecting Yom Tov, not Shabbos, just out of interest. So those people, who, you know, the Rambam is clearly in, he would not have the suffix of the Rosh, just to put it that way. He is very clearly in the camp of Rav Ashi. But why do we see that it's called an Erev? Because like that Erev, I see that matzah box on top of my bookshelf, and I say, wait a second, carrying on Shabbos is not a free-for-all. It's because we now have a united premises together. We all own it together, and there's sufficient mechitzos to make it a common ground. It's now allowed. That's the same reminder. It's a symbol for this. That's what the Rambam says. However, he is not the only show in town. The Ravid, so Rabbeinu Avraham, actually is very critical of this. He says, skipping just the quotation of the Rambam, the next line, is Omar Avraham, that's the Aleph, Hatam lozeh l'na'arim. That's the preschool reason. Right, he's not very happy about the Rambam's perspective. Kihu oimer, kihu shaul me'arev achatzeros. Rambam is saying that this isn't a unique name. He's saying it's like the other one, right? He says kalamar zemishum hekeru, vezemishum hekeru, ma ze shmoy erov, av ze shmoy erov. And okay, what do you like? It's just like, you know, it happens to be like, you know, same kind of thing. It's an antenna. It reminds you. It's like a red ribbon. What is it? So he says it doesn't make sense. Elo shehu ma'arev tzorichei Shabbos al tzorichei Yom Tov la'asoy sam yachad. What's the word Erev actually mean? The word Erev means mixture. Why is an Erev, but when we talk about an Erev in terms of carrying an Erev, because in a certain sense we're combining the Rishus, right? There's a combination going on. So what's the combination going on over here? Don't forget, it's not like a reminder. The word needs to make sense here. So what does it make sense? We are combining the needs of Shabbos with the needs of Yom Tov, right? Together, this is happening. So now, think about this for a second. If this is true, Rav Zsolti says in a fascinating twist, Rav Zsolti has a beautiful book called the Mishnas Yavetz. Rav Zsolti was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham of the last century. He left us with some remarkable insights into Torah, into Halacha. Says the following. Rav Zsolti says, well, let's think about this for a second. Maybe this isn't just a issue about names. Maybe there's a greater argument at stake in the Rambam and the Ravid over here. Take a look at what he says over here. It's fascinating. He says, on the top of the page 4, he says, "Ulafize nimtza shemachloikes haRambam vaRavid b'tam Hashem shel Erev Tav Shilin." The machloikes about the name, whether it's like as a reminder, like the other Eruvin, or whether it itself is a combination of Shabbos and Yom Tov, like the Ravid, is not simply just a linguistic issue. Ze lo rak mashmos dorshim mikabinayu elo yesh bo ze nafka min ledina. There is in fact a practical difference between them. Sheladas haRambam shelatzorchei Shabbos naasim b'Yom Tov. Beirut Hashin, who rak mishum heker, According to the Rambam, that it's a reminder that we shouldn't cook to outside of Yom Tov. Says like this. There's another principle in halacha. This we skipped a little bit in terms of the dynamics, but that's the following. In general, before Erev Tavshilin came along, was there ever an allowance to cook from a Yom Tov to a Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, there is a small allowance. There is an allowance which is called Ha'il. Ha'il is a principle where on a regular Yom Tov, you can assume that people might be coming to your house. You might just have guests to drop in, which means to say that I might be able to cook a little extra because there might be guests who come along. And therefore, it's not really that I'm cooking directly for Shabbos as I'm cooking because, you know, maybe now, today, Friday afternoon, guests might come, which is a principle which would allow us to do that. However, he is pointing out that according to the Rambam, the reason over here of the naming is that we shouldn't cook from Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Shabbos. He's saying it is specifically because of Erev Tavshilin, not because of this other notion called Ha'il, and therefore I can cook even 5 minutes before Shkia on Shabbos. I can start the cooking for Shabbos, where there's no likelihood that guests may come. I'm not relying on the Ha'il principle. Whereas he says, this is just a one depth. The das arrived she yosoid ha'het levashal be'erev yomtov the Shabbos who rak mitama dohail. The rivet is who understands elsewhere that the only reason why we can cook from yomtov to Shabbos is because maybe in the first place guests might come. Ve'erev tavshinin hu shema arev tzorich Shabbos im tzorich yomtov la'asoy sam yachad, and the erev tavshinin is just allowing me to do the two together. So the ha'il has allowed me to cook. Maybe the guests are going to come and ask me to cook for Shabbos, and I can do the two together. I can cook a big pot for both together. So says the Ravid, therefore, if I'm within 5 minutes of Shabbos coming in, and there's no possibility of guests arriving, I don't have this other idea called Hoyil, and therefore, that my guests might come, I'm not allowed to do it even with an Erev Tavshilin, which means that even with the Erev Tavshilin, I cannot cook that close to dark, according to the Ravid, because his reasoning of the Erev Tavshilin is different. Okay, if we didn't catch this is a very high note on the wavelength over here. But just a fascinating application of what the naming means. If we missed that particular point, let's move on to one or two other ideas for a second.
The whole Erev Tavshilin is built on
Ho,
so I don't know how
we can. No, it's not. That's what he's saying. He's saying that there's those who say it's built on it, some say it's not built on it. That's why actually, to do this, we should have really seen that Gemara in Pesachim, which that's where the two opinions work. But I wanted to move on, and that's why it's a little bit missing in this particular application over here. Let's do two quick things. I didn't do it, right? So there's a difference if I say I didn't do it and somebody else says I didn't do it, right? So why does that work? The Gemara tells us in Source 18, here we go. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Erev Tavshilin tzrichin das. You need to have knowledge when you do Erev Tavshilin. Good, that's important. Pshat das meniach ba'inon. Das mi sheinichai ba'inon loy ba'inon. The person who's doing it for themselves. Of course, you need to know what you're doing, right? That nothing works if you don't know what you're doing, right? But the question is, let's say I'm doing it for somebody else in my household, right? Do they need to know or not? The Gemara says, "Tashma davu d'shmuel me erev achlua achlua anarda." Rav Shmuel ma erev akula anarda. The father of Shmuel would make an erev for the entire city of Narda in Bavel. Rav Ami and Rav Ashi ma avru akula Tveria. So Rav Ami and Rav Ashi, who lived in Israel, made their erev tavshilin for the entire city of Tveria, and clearly not everybody knew that, right? So it sounds like the das of the people who it's been done for is not necessary as a component for the Erev Tavshilin. Machriz Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Mishlo Eniach Erev Tavshilin, Yovo V'Yismach Al Sheli. So Rabbi Yaakov was very careful, and he would say to everybody, it's not an announcement, anybody who forgot this Yom Tov, don't worry, I did one, and I thought about you guys. V'ad Kama, how far does that go? Meaning like, just so that's it. Throw away the reminders. Take away the sticky notes. What? How far does that go? Omar Rav Nechumi bar Zecharia Mishmei de Rabaye. So there's a story about Rabbi Nechumi who says Ad Chum Shabbos Hausamich Adahavim Misadet. So meaning, so there's a limit. There's a actual, we'll call it physical limit as to how far a person can have in mind. Hausam Yadahavim Misadet Masnisa Kamid Rav Shmuel. There's a particular person who was learning in front of Mar Shmuel. Chazid Dehava Atziv. And Rav Shmuel saw he was a little upset today. Omale, amai atzivas, why are you so sad? Omale, delo atzivas erev tavshilin. I'm going to have cold food on Shabbos. I didn't do it erev tavshilin. Missed it. Omale, samuch adidi. Don't worry. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about everybody. I was thinking about you. You're good. So the shon l'chazi d'hava atziv. The next year, erev yom tov is learning. Still looking down. Omale, amai atzivas. Why are you so sad? Omale, delo atzivi eruv tavshilin. I didn't do erev tavshilin. Apparently it's a chronic issue. Omalei, poshea at, lukuli alma, shari ledidach aser. I had in mind everyone else, except for you. Right? So there's the Gemara says over here that there's a limitation as to how much the Rav's Eretz Shilin goes for. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Mitzvah kol adam l'arev, this is the next source in source 19. Mitzvah kol godol be'ir l'arev kol b'nei ha'iroi. So people, leaders in the community, are supposed to do it for their city. Kadesh yismoich olav. So a person who forgot, or it was beyond their control, or they left it and it was eaten. People who didn't know to do that. If you knew you could and you should and you just didn't, it doesn't work. So there's a discussion on how far is it one time in your lifetime, is it one time this year? It's a big discussion in halacha. But what you see over here is a very interesting thing, and that is that the God of Ha'ir is supposed to do this. And my wife reminded me that means that it's really the Rebbetzin. Let's be honest. Who is saving the city? It's the rabbi's wife. Okay? So, yeah.
Maybe that's another play on the word Eruv.
Ah, very nice, very nice. Okay, Reb Moshe. Beautiful. So Erev is a mixture, not as a mixture, but as Arvus, as responsibility, yes.
Also, Zachar was fun of, but I guess year two he wasn't empathetic anymore.
Well, I guess again, but this is with, when it comes to any regulation, that you want to have safety, that you want to have welfare, but how far do you want to have welfare? Meaning to say, if welfare is going to now paralyze people from doing things, right? It's the same issue over here. So that's why this is set up in such a way. One or two just quick things. I'm sorry, I just want to finish up one or two ideas quickly. And that is there is a discussion. We're not going to get into this itself, but there is a fascinating discussion in halacha about does it help me with candle lighting? Meaning to say, is the Erev Tavshilin allowing me to do the candle lighting on? I'm lighting candles on Yom Tov, essentially, on Friday for Shabbos. So what happens if I didn't do Erev Tavshilin? Can I light the candles? Right, that's an interesting question. Is it only cooking or not? That's a big discussion in Halacha. We're not going to get into the practicals over here, but in general, generally speaking, I was hearing a shir. Rav Asher Weiss actually says it's allowed because there's an aspect of it for two reasons. Number one is that there's two parts of Shabbos. There's Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is enjoying Shabbos. I eat wonderful food. I have the lights on. It's a good atmosphere. Kavod Shabbos is what I do before Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. The din of Kavod Shabbos is therefore only on an Erev Shabbos, on a Friday. So in fact, the requirement of it is actually already on Yom Tov. So it's not preparing for Shabbos. I'm actually doing what's required on a Friday on Shabbos, which is why I might be able to light candles irrespective of the Erev Tavshilin. Number two, another reason as well is because on Yom Tov itself, Yom Tov, the last few minutes of Yom Tov look really nice. Meaning to say that you've added something, you add an extra dimension to Yom Tov, not cooking, where you're cooking for Shabbos footy. But when you light the candles, there's something still there for Yom Tov, even if the Erev Tavshilin was neglected. And the other, for those points, can we say that in fact, that's what we say when we make Erev Tavshilin, we should be thinking about the candles as well, because that's an aspect of preparation which is sufficient. One last, one just more practical aspect is that in general today we have two Tavshilin. One is a baked food and one is a cooked food. The reason is, and the Shulchan Aruch says, is because it allows baking and it allows cooking. One should really have both. Bedi Eved, in a case where one realizes one does not have any more challahs where one can use. There's not a bread, which is an unlikely situation. One can rely on a tavshil. One can still rely on just having a cooked food. And there's a lot of interesting applications to what makes two different foods. We're not going to get into that right now. One idea in thought, and with this we'll close, just to in respect of time, and that's the following. This is just a remarkable idea, and that is the following: is we have a model in our lives which is not of time cycle, which is not based on any luminaries, meaning to say, a lot of our year is based on something having an orbit around something else, right? So, you know, there's the year, there's the month, there's the dates in the month. There's one aspect of our cycle which is not based on a orbit, and that is our week, right? The seven-day week is not based on any astronomical occurrence. Which means to say that there's always an important lesson being told to us on a weekly basis, on a seven-day cycle, which Hashem says is Oisi ben you, right? This is my sign between you and me, says Hashem. So what's so important about that? So the Maharal says, well, it's an important reminder that our lives are so much, in a certain sense, you know, circled around Shabbos. It's a reminder of how this world operates. Because this world and the next world operate in the same way that weekday and Shabbos operate. You don't cook during the week. You don't prepare your food during the week. When you get to Shabbos, too bad. All you're left with is crackers, right? That's it. If we don't use our time in this dimension, in the Olam Hazeh, then we get to the next world and all we're left is with crackers, Rachman and Etzan. We need to do the preparation in order to be able to do this, to get there. Our work, in a certain sense, the degree of our reward is only going to be to the degree we worked on it. Once you get in, there's nothing more we can do. No more preparation can be done. It's a day of being and enjoying and receiving, as opposed to working and attaining and preparing. Right? That's what it is. The question that's asked, the Maharal asks, is, if that's true, where does Yom Tov fit into the picture? Right? Meaning, that's a very interesting model in terms of the weekday and Shabbos. Where does Yom Tov fit in? But this question bothered me for years. That's how the Maharal addresses it himself. The Maharal says, you know where Yom Tov is? Yom Tov is in the in-between. It's Yom Mois HaMashiach. Yom Tov is the time where it's kind of a little bit like you're entering into the world of Olam Haba, where you can't do anything. But there are certain things you can do. Right? You can cook. You can do certain things, L'tzorech Oichol Nefesh, for that period itself. Like the Yom Mois HaMashiach. In a certain sense, we can't do a lot more preparation, but it's like the in-between dimension between this world and the next world. We have the Yom HaMashiach, which is the Yom Tov. There's certain things I simply can't do anymore, right? But I certainly can still do the preparations for now. But here's the quick question. Within the halachic concept of Erev Tav Shilin, what that means to say is, let's think about this for a second. I can't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. I can't prepare from Yom HaMashiach to Olam Haba if I didn't do an Erev Tav Shilin, which means, this is a shocking statement, if I did not value God's word and His will and His ideas in this world, in the confines of this world, enough to even prepare for Yom HaMashiach, then Yom HaMashiach will not be effective in helping me get to the next stage of Olam Haba. Do you see what's happening? The Erev Tav Shilin means to say, I need to be able to prepare sufficiently, to care enough to get into Yom HaMashiach, for Yom HaMashiach to help me get into Shabbos, so I can cook a big meal there. That's what the Erev Tav Shilin is. The Erev Tav Shilin is the bridge between this world and the Yom HaMashiach. That's our access point, says the Maharal. Fascinating. That's our Erev Tav Shilin. As a reminder, Metz Hashem, as you do this Wednesday, let's think about that in Metz Hashem. We should all be zeichet to enter the Yom HaMashiach and use that time as a preparation for Shabbos. Thank you.